our family got to know Bonasados very well on our visits to Burkina Faso when my brother Jeff and his wife Tani were there with their family. So he has become a very treasured family friend. It has been wonderful to reconnect with you over the years. He is the pastor of the Fimo Church in Burkina. So we welcome here and invite him to share his message.
Good morning to all of you.
Good morning.
Okay. So before saying anything, I will really have a request. In my mother tongue, we use a lot of proverbs, and one of them is, you never let something in a bag and sell it, because people should know what is in the bag before discussing the price, right? Okay. I am a former teacher, and I really like asking questions. And I think that teachers know that. Isn't it, Joy? Yeah. So, my request is that for the following reasons, you might really try to understand me. The first reason is that English is not my mother tongue. A second is, I'm not used to preach in English every time. And the third is, when Tani gave me the time devoted for the preaching, I said, ho. Okay. So anyway, I will try. So these are my requests. I will try, and if I'm too long, you stop me. I'm really happy this morning, and I praise God for this opportunity to be here in this church, who has been partnering with us for a certain number of years. And I am thankful to all of you, and especially to the leaders of the church who gave me this opportunity to really share. And I have things deeply into my heart, probably the same for my brethren and in Burkina Faso, and the whole Mennonite church, and I can even say particularly in the Fimo. In my mother tongue, we say the corpse can disintegrate, but the expression of really showing our comfort never disintegrate. And I think this is true. Whenever you lose someone you really love, a friend, even a brother, you might not have the opportunity to be at his funerals. But the day you have the opportunity to be with the parents, you have to say something. And I'm bringing this something from Burkina Faso to all of you. Jeff was a friend. More than that, he was a brother to me. Because I can tell you, I don't know, those, I know that most of you here, when you got the opportunity to learn how to ride a bike, you can tell a bit about this experience. Those who are elderly person, I'm not talking about our son. They have the opportunity to have little bikes at their size. But those who are like me, who didn't get this opportunity to have bicycles at their size, you are small, but you are obliged to use adult's bike. It is not easy to learn, isn't it? What I'm saying is not right. Yeah. And so it is difficult to learn how to ride a bike that is taller than you, bigger than you. And I made this experience, and I know most of you went through this experience. And this is what I did with the Wokontin family. Because I myself started my ministry in a village. And then I was sent to Waga to start this ministry with a FEMO, with these young students. So it was something new. And I have my experience as a former school teacher, as a translator, a Bible translator, but it was not enough to start something new. And the Wokontin came from North America with their experience too, and with something new. So you can understand what kind of trip we had together. And working together, I think there are a lot of challenges. Working is good when you are alone, easy. And I think that I really thank Sandra for the vivid picture we had here with these kids. I think that you remember when the little girl, she said she offered to help. Many of us laughed, right? Paul, I told Paul, oh, look at her. What can she do? But she offered to help. And all of you will agree with me that probably she could not be of any help, right? Because she was smaller and she could not reach. This is how working together can prove us challenges. We didn't take time to ask her, those who laughed, and ask her, how do you feel? These people were laughing at you. How do you feel? You offer help, but people did not take it seriously. I think normally you should not be happy. This is what happens whenever you have to work together. And there are challenges. And this morning, I just want to see two layers in these challenges. Since I don't have enough time to share, I will run fast. I'm a good athlete. We read the first, the first text. And in the first text, what we saw was this man called Apollos started preaching. And it was in Ephesus. And while he was preaching, some other people came who had the same purpose. Because for them, they should make people know who Jesus is, so that they can make the choice. These two people were Aquila and Priscilla, his wife. They were Apostle Paul's companions in many of his travelings. And they too were tent makers like Apostle Paul. And they listened to him preaching. I'm a Bible translator, and usually we have to dig deep to understand things so that we can translate it to in the right way into people's motherland. So the Bible is sometimes silent about some of the details. And here it is said after that they called him, they invited him. We have a lot of versions. They invited him in their home, and they taught him. What did they teach him? What? Because when we read, it was said that he was preaching about the baptism of John. This is what he knew. He was a good preacher, an eloquent speaker, and full of zeal to do the work. But what he was sharing seems to be something not complete. You all know that if you take the Holy Spirit away, there will be a lot of things in our Christian life that will not work. I sometimes prefer to reason this way instead of going this way backward. And I say, if we talk of the Holy Spirit, we think about resurrection. And if we talk of resurrection, we talk about Calvary. So if we take away the Holy Spirit, all these steps will be missing. And what kind of life, what kind of Christian life do you think we might have if we don't talk about the Holy Spirit? This guy was someone full of zeal, ready to teach, but in his teaching, there was something, I can say that there was something very important missing. And Aquila and Priscilla, who knew about it, the attitude is something that can really teach us in difficult situations like that. They didn't rebuke him publicly and say, oh, stop. I think that in some places, especially in our country, someone might raise up and say, oh, please, what you are saying is not right. And guess what feelings Apollos would have at that time. But these people reacted wisely. They listened to the whole thing. And after that, they invited him at home. And when we read the scriptures, it is said that they taught him the sound way and the sound knowledge so that he might be well equipped. What was missing might be now in him. And after that, he was well equipped. My first question is, how did they do this? Those who too were looking at the same thing, to help others learn about Jesus, hear about the message of salvation. There were, I invite people to stand at the place of these people. Someone is teaching something wrong. I don't think that teachers will allow that. Right? Paul, when you were a teacher, I'm not sure that you will allow that. If there is something wrong, you say, oh, stop. Right? You correct. But you see these people, they were very patient. I see equality in them, patience. And in my mother tongue, to express patience, you say, to cut yourself. This is how we say it. And I think it is more vivid. To cut yourself, meaning you are obliged to make a lot of effort so that you will not say a word. Is it easy to cut oneself? You should react, but you don't react. Difficult. These people were patient. And then, I'm quite sure, even if the Bible did not express what they did, probably very politely, they invited Apollos at home. And they went there. The Bible did not say how many days, but you agree with me that it was not only one day, right? It were not only a few hours. No. And another thing you can see in it, for someone who knows, who is well instructed, I don't know, in North America you have a lot of people who are well instructed, right? More educated, they have big knowledge. In Africa, we don't have all this number of people. But usually, people like Apollos, in our context, it will be difficult to really convince them, to even try to say something to them. These guys were only mere tent makers. The Bible did not tell us that they were also instructed. No. Apollos knew a lot. And to get this kind of people, talk to them, so that they will agree. I think that there is a certain big level of humility. So in Apollos also, we found something, humility. Because before Aquila and Priscilla taught him, probably they would have told him that his knowledge was not complete. There was something missing. And this man listened to them. He accepted. So there was humility in him. Working together, this is something very important. There should be humility. The little girl who came here, I think that in her mind, she was thinking that she could help. And it is normal. Though she was not tall enough to touch the books, she could have just got someone like a pillar and it would have been her help. Right? I think she could have, and even encouraging people, even if you don't put your hand into the work, saying, oh, keep on, keep on. This is a way. Right? She has many ways. She could have many ways to help these people. And I think to work together, we really need this humility and a lot of it. We need patience and a lot of it. The second text, when we read it, what we saw was Apostle Paul was talking about the division that happens in the church of Corinth. Because the verses before said some were claiming to be followers of Apollos, others were saying that they were followers of Paul himself. And this brought a very big tension. Here, we are not talking of the workers themselves, but those they were serving. And this is a very big trap in which servants of God may fall. It can make you really proud. Oh, I am the one who did this fantastic job. All these people, I talked to them and they came to the Lord. Who? They are mine. It happens. I don't know if in your context, not just the church, not in the same, in the same church it happens. And when you look at denominations, in my country we had many of them. And sometimes people might even tell a new believer, don't go to the church there. They don't know Jesus. Others will say, they are not Christians. No, come to our church. To our church. As if they have a church. The Bible said it is the church. It belongs to Jesus, right? But now, because people are behaving in a certain way, they consider the church as theirs. And this is not right. So, Paul was warning them. This is not the right way of looking at things. According to Paul, those who are saying we belong to Apollos or we belong to Paul, they are not good Christians. They were people living according to the flesh. And this is what happens whenever servants of the Lord are not wise enough to avoid this trap. You yourself, to be able to work with the others, there are many things you should do. There are many qualities you should have. But it is not the only thing. Those with whom you are working might also be a problem for you. Think a bit about you as parents. You might be good parents. Your testimony is fine, but you have a child who is very stubborn. And your neighbors, every time will come and complain. It is not you. It is your child. But can you say that it is because it is my son? being a troublemaker, I don't care. Is it possible? No. You have to care. And you have to find a solution. So, Paul wanted people to know a certain number of things. He wanted them to know that, first, this work, you should do it with humility. Secondly, each of us in the field has a certain task. This concerns the different ministries. We don't have the same ministry, but all put together is for the Lord's harvest. He said, there is someone who planted the seeds. Another one, what is it? Maybe another one will come and cultivate. In the end, what do we have? Harvest. And this harvest should glorify the name of our God. This is what should be done. And nobody should consider himself as more important than the other. I don't think that this is the way we usually do. The singer might say, without us, oh, the service will not be good. Another person will say, oh, without us, it won't be good. Please, this is not the way it should be done. We all have our tasks. And we have to do our tasks the normal way. The Lord said it. In John 4, he said, the planter and the one watering it, they all, one day, will receive the gift. And they will rejoice together. These people help one another. If you don't plant, how will you water? The pastor just said to, she prayed. She prayed for the weather. If people do not plant, they cannot expect any harvest. So, the one planting is as important as the one watering. Because if you plant and there is no water, what will happen? It will die. And the Lord considered each of these workers equal. He will not say the seed planter is superior than the one watering. No. He's a good father. I think that in our families, if we look at your kids on the equal way, things work well. But if you look at one and you favor him more than the others, what will happen? Quarrels. You will have a lot of problems. What I can say after talking about these two layers, I really praise God for what he did at FEMO. In my mother tongue, African people like a lot of proverbs. In my mother tongue, we say that the first rat is the biggest. I don't know if I say the word well. You know, sometimes people might go hunting the rats. They dig the hole in order to kill them and to cook them. And when you dig, the first one to go is the biggest. Usually it is a male. And people say the first rat is the biggest. It means when people start a work, the most important persons are those who started first. I imagine that when people were building this church, there were some people who took into account the foundations, right? They say, oh, since it should be high and we should have like a second level, the foundation should be really strong, right? If they did not put enough efforts in the foundation, what will come up won't stay. Am I right? Okay. So what happens at FEMO was that with the working teams, the necessary quality for collaborating was there. And I really praise God for that. Jeff and his wife were really people ready to share everything with me. And an example, I was sharing it the other day with Paul and Ruth. A lady went to Jeff and his family asking for help because she had her two kids. She was from Cameroon. She had her two kids and she could no longer stay in Burkina. She was suffering and she wanted to go back to Cameroon. I was at work. He called me and said, Bananzaro, when you finish, will you have time so that we'll meet? Because there is something I want to understand. And we met. He explained the situation. He said, she came to me with her two kids and she was really weeping because she asked if there is a missionary somewhere and people said, oh, next door there is a missionary. And she went there. And he said, something should be done for this lady. I said, good. Normally, a good Christian, this is what you should feel in your heart. You have to do something when someone is suffering closer to you. But I say, it will be good for me to meet this lady too. And in the evening, we had a prayer meeting. I say, invite her to come to the prayer meeting. And he did invite her. She came. After the prayer meeting, we sat and we talked. And I tried to understand the situation. She was from Cameroon. And a man from Burkina went there to work looking for money. And he made friendship with her and finally married her. Got two kids with her without even telling her that he was married in Burkina. Since he was there to get money, anytime he has money, he will go to Burkina, invest, and then come back. And once, because he knew, if she knew that he has a wife and children at home, there is no way for him to get his two kids. She will not leave, and the Cameroonian government will not allow him to go back with his kids. So he told her, okay, we are married for a certain time. Why not go and make acquaintance with my family? And she went. And it is when she arrived that she noticed that the guy was already married and with children. And these people were not really welcoming. You know, those who are on the coast, their culture is different from we in the land. Our cultures are different. And she was very angry, she expressed it. And these people, her husband's family considered it as a kind of not respecting them. And instead of helping, it became very harsh for her. Well, putting all these things together, it looks like she needs really to go back. But there were difficulties because you cannot travel with these kids without any paper showing that your husband or someone in the family agrees that you go back with the kids. And I asked her, can you give me the phone number of someone in your family so that I might talk to the person? She said, no way, don't talk about that. These people are wicked and I don't want to have something to do with them. Okay, and I told her, you know, the white man sitting here is my colleague. He will not give you a penny unless I understand what is in the business, in your story. And I know Jeff agrees with me. And I told Jeff, unless I understand something, don't help her. You might say that this pastor is very harsh, not loving, not having Jesus loving. But I knew there was something hidden behind, and my colleague might get into trouble. So finally, she wept a lot. I said, no, your tears. I know what it means. I know you are suffering, but please, I want to know. And she finally gave me a phone number. I can tell you, when I called this guy and I mentioned the lady's name, he just cut off. I took time to pray. Pastor yourself, well, this is the way. I prayed and said, God, give me enough patience and help me to really find out what is inside. And then after that, I called him again. When he took it, I say, do you know me? You don't know my age. Culturally, it is not normal for you to cut off someone who is calling you because I'm the one paying, right? So listen to me. And I started talking to him. When I finished, he said, Pastor, excuse me. You know why I cut off the first time? The whole family is fed up with this situation. We don't want to have anything to do with this lady. And I say, but if she has to go back with her kids, you as a family, because her husband is back in Cameroon, you the family, you have to write something so that she must have documents to go. How will she go if you are not ready? He said, what I told you, we don't want to have anything to do with it. What you can do, I will give you my brother's phone number, and then you can phone. I say, okay. So he gave me his brother's phone number, and I phoned. And I talked to him. He said, Pastor, I'm really happy that you want to solve the matter. But, here is a but. She could not come back with my kids, because if she comes back with my kids, I have lost them. So what I will advise you is to get away from the situation. Don't have to do anything with it. If she wants to go alone, okay, if you are ready to help her, no problem. But with my kids, this will never happen. If you do it, I will send a word, and I'm quite sure they will have a lot of problems with the police. Then I called Jeff and say, okay, this is the situation, Jeff. And I told Jeff, she went with you to her place, right? I say, okay, to convince you that there is something not good in the business, go and check. If you find her there, okay, what we can do for her, if you are ready, we'll do it. But I am not sure that you will find her there. He said, Banazaro, I will go and check. He went. She was not there. And when she asked people, she said, the lady with her two kids who were here at a time, they said, no, it was not where she's living. No. She just stopped here and talked to you and say it is her family. None of us know her. I say, praise God. And I came to Jeff, I say, okay, in this business, I think you are free. We have tried to do what we can do to help this lady, but at this stage, I'm not sure that we have to get involved in it. I praise God, because many other situations happened, but there was this understanding between us. And today, Jeff is with our Father, our Heavenly Father somewhere. But what they laid as foundation, we see the fruits. Today, if I count the number of kids, students who really benefited from the FEMO, there are more than 100. And among them, those who have already the PhD, there are 4. There are others getting ready. Maybe by the end of next year, 5 others will have their PhD. There is even one who is in Canada and Montreal for his PhD in sciences. And many of them are now working for their masters. Many among them are teachers. And where they are, They are really resourceful people for the churches. And all these people, I can count like 15 couples. People who came to the foyer, the FEMO, made acquaintance, lived together, and finally, friendship, and they married. 15 of them. If I can consider myself as a grandfather there, if I count them, they have already 12 kids. This month, by the end of this month, there is a wedding, something like 500 kilometers from Waga. And in August, there will be two other weddings. And I'm sure by the end of this year, we might add three other weddings. I know this is not coming from me alone. We have started somewhere together with this family. Though they left, those who took over, Bruce and his wife, they kept the same policy, the same understanding. And I was in Goshen for a simple